At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're tackling a big one, something you hear constantly if you're looking at cameras, megapixels. Specifically, megapixels and the art of photography. Because, you know, every camera ad, every spec sheet, it always feels like they're shouting, more megapixels equals a better camera, full stop. It's really easy to get caught up in that, isn't it? Thinking, okay, I need the biggest number for the best photos. But like most things in tech, and definitely in art, there's kind of a yes, but situation going on. So this deep dive, we're drawing from a really insightful article to, you know, peel back those layers. We'll look at megapixels, sure, but also lenses and what really makes for a great photo experience.
Exactly. And our goal here really is to help you see past that marketing noise. We want to get to what truly matters beyond just those big flashy numbers. There are actually some surprising things that might just change how you approach your photography.
Okay, let's dive in then. Because let's be fair, there is some truth there. A camera with more megapixels does mean higher resolution photos. That part's not wrong.
No, that's absolutely correct. Higher resolution is the direct result. But, and this is the first big but, the lens comes into play immediately. You see, that high megapixel sensor, especially as the source notes, when you get up to maybe 40 megapixels or more,
yeah,
it needs a really good lens to actually capture that potential detail.
Okay.
If you pair, say, a 50 megapixel camera with a cheaper, maybe less sharp kit lens, a lot of those extra megapixels aren't recording fine scene detail. They're actually just recording the flaws and limitations of the lens itself.
Huh. Okay, that's really interesting. So you're saying you could spend a lot on a fancy high megapixel camera body, but if you don't also invest in a lens that can, like, keep up, you might not actually see the improvement you paid for. Is that kind of the hidden catch?
That's a perfect way to put it. It's a very common trap, actually. You need the whole system to work together. And that leads to the second big point, pixel size.
Right.
Think about it. If you keep cramming more and more pixels onto the same size sensor, maybe on a standard full frame or APS-C camera, well, each individual pixel has to get smaller to fit.
Okay, makes sense physically, but what does that do to the image?
Well, smaller pixels inherently capture less light, just less surface area per pixel.
Hmm.
And that matters a lot, especially if you enjoy shooting when the light isn't perfect. Think dusk indoors or, you know, night photography. Larger pixels are like having bigger buckets to catch raindrops. They gather more light in dim conditions.
Okay.
And more light gathered means less digital noise, that sort of grainy look you get in dark shots. Plus, another thing often noted is that larger pixels tend to render color a bit more accurately, more truly.
So for someone who loves shooting, say, cityscapes at night or portraits indoors without flash, they might actually benefit from not chasing the absolute highest megapixel count if it means getting larger pixels instead.
It's definitely a trade-off to consider, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for low light performance, it's about balance.
Okay, got it. Now, you mentioned the system. What about after the shot? You take these super high-res photos,
yeah.
Then what? I imagine the files themselves must be pretty big.
Oh, yeah. Significantly larger. And that's the third practical point here. It might sound like a small detail, but handling these massive files can actually become, well, a bit of a headache.
How so? Just storage space?
Storage is part of it, for sure. But it's also about the workflow. Larger files are just more unwieldy. Mm-hmm. Think about loading hundreds of photos into your editing software. It can mean slower load times, maybe laggy responses when you're trying to sort, call, or actually edit them.
Oh, I can imagine. If you're on a deadline or just finished a big shoot, waiting for images to load or edits to apply, that could get tedious really fast.
Exactly. It slows down the whole creative process, potentially.
So we've got lens quality, pixel size for low light, and file handling. It sounds like maybe chasing the maximum megapixels isn't always the best strategy. But you wouldn't want to go too low either, right? Like, where's the balance?
Yeah.
Is there a sweet spot?
Yeah, definitely don't want to go back to, you know, early digital camera resolutions. That would be disappointing for different reasons. The goal isn't low megapixels. It's finding the right amount for your needs. And the expert in our source material suggests something interesting. They felt that around 22 megapixels, give or take a few, that often hits a really nice sweet spot. It gives you plenty of resolution for most things, even pretty large prints. but the files are more manageable and it often coincides with cameras that have a good balance of pixel size and performance.
22. Okay, that's like way less than the 40, 50, 60 megapixels we see advertised sometimes.
It is. And here's another kicker. What if you do occasionally need super high resolution, maybe for a huge print or a massive crop? There's actually software now, like Topaz Gigapixel and others, that use AI. These plugins can intelligently upscale your images after you've taken them, adding detail and resolution in post-production.
Wow, okay. So you don't necessarily have to capture enormous files all the time just in case. You can potentially enhance it later if needed.
Precisely. It gives you flexibility. You can shoot with a more balanced camera day to day and then upscale specifically when the need arises.
That's actually kind of revolutionary compared to the old get the highest number up front thinking. Yeah. It puts more control back in your hands later. So if we're trying to wrap this all up, bring it together, the main takeaway seems to be that megapixels matter, yes, but they're just one ingredient in the recipe. You really need to look at the whole picture, right? The lens quality is huge, how pixel size affects your shooting style, especially in low light, and even the practical side of handling the files.
That's it, exactly. It's a holistic view. Think of your camera gear as an investment, and understanding these interactions lets you invest smarter. You can potentially stretch your budget further, focusing on maybe a better lens rather than just raw megapixels, without actually sacrificing the final quality of your images. It's about being strategic.
Right, being informed. Which leads us to maybe a final thought for you, the listener, to mull over. Beyond just the tech specs, how does knowing this stuff actually empower you? Does understanding these trade-offs maybe free you up a bit, allow you to make choices based on your needs and your art, rather than just chasing the highest number on the box? Maybe think about it. What aspects of your own photography, your gear choices, or even just your mindset might shift now, knowing that the megapixel number isn't the whole story?